Happy Monday, boys and girls. My name is Jeffrey Scott Mitchell. And it feels good to be back. It feels good to be back coming to you from the default location. It's been weeks since I've walked this trail, that I've walked daily for a few years now. Having got back from Youngstown, Ohio, my hometown, for 2 weeks, and then before that, constantly working, and then before that, picking up family from the airport. Did I pick them up? Might have been a week. I can't remember. But it's been a while. Seems like since I've been in my own bed, undisturbed for an extended amount of time. Granddaughter's birthday party at my daughter's house. Had a good time. Folks came over. Food was good. Oh my God, the food was good. I learned a new ham glaze recipe. See, what I did was I bought a honey baked ham. I was being lazy. Went and paid $70. Got a honey baked ham. And they said, all you gotta do is put it in the oven. Boom, you're done. I said, cool, I'll do that. I won't have to give me a spiral cut from Giant Eagle or someplace and do anything to it. So I did that. Got the ham, threw it in the oven. My ex-wife came over, took a look at the ham. In fact, she took a look at everything and redid everything. And I am grateful. I'm grateful. I'm not denying it. I am grateful. She came in there and reworked it. She saw that ham. She said, no, this is how you do it. And then she broke it up. It's already spiral cut. So she broke it up into pieces and laid it in a pan. I was like, that's how I do it. And she said, did you make your glaze? I was like, huh? She said, get a pan, put some water in it, put some sugar in it. I said, okay. Put some more sugar in it. I was like, okay. She was like, put some more sugar in it. It was so much sugar, I was getting uncomfortable. I wasn't used to anything like that. It was so much sugar. Then she grabbed the bag and started shaking. I was like, oh my God. And she said, now get some brown sugar with some vanilla extract. Let it boil for a little while. Pour that on the ham. Stick it in the oven. And that is kind of what I used to do. I would, you know, slice it up. It was already spiral cut. Even if I got it from Ralph's. No, if I got it from Ralph's. It was spiral cut, so I just peeled the pieces off, lay them in the pan, stick it in the oven. And she was like, only cook it for so long, because it'll get dry. I was like, yeah, that's the way we like it. I said, my sister be calling it ham jerky. But she covered it, put that glaze on it. Oh my God, I ate that ham up until yesterday. Hey, that hat. I got back Friday night. I got back Friday morning. Unpacked. Laid down. Got up. Went to a P-Funk show. Came back from that P-Funk show. I didn't leave the house until just now. From Friday, about 1 a.m. to Monday, 9:30 a.m. I didn't leave my apartment. I had food. That ham was killing. That ham was killing. I'll never buy a honey baked again. I'll never buy a honey baked ham again. Ain't no use. Ain't no use. Obviously, people don't know about this recipe. My God. Ain't no use. Pay $70 for that piece of meat. Could have paid 25 and got more. But I digress. Macaroni and cheese. The turkey was in there getting ready to eat and whatever. She looked at the turkey. She was like, this turkey ain't done. We ain't gonna go into why the turkey wasn't done. We ain't gonna say whose responsibility it was. But their reaction was priceless. Their reaction was priceless. And the perpetrator of the undid act or whatever, how it went down, suffered the consequences. And I was there to witness it. It was a beautiful family thing. It was a beautiful family moment. Did you cook this turkey? This turkey ain't done. So, Meg's wife's husband, they had made a turkey themselves. So Meg's wife's husband took that turkey home, bought the turkey they cooked, and I was like, I was like, mission accomplished. No, I didn't do it. It wasn't me, and I had nothing to do with it. Because I don't really like turkey. Until I had that turkey they made, because they cook. Every time I go back there, I go over there and just eat at their house. They just cook. And I bring back tons of food. And I eat on it. Because I don't get that kind of quality of cooking. Home cooking. In fact, I get a quality of home cooking. So I don't want to disrespect nobody. Or antagonize nobody into thinking. Or being mad so the next time they come here, they don't be cooking, but it's a different thing. When it's a how kind of cooking. Could even be a black thing, you could say. It could even be a black thing, whatever it is. It's a style that I'm used to, or whatever, however you want to put it. And it just hits. Oh my God, the macaroni and cheese. My cousin made greens. She's famous for them. I got my Mr. Paul's rolls, a ham, and let me tell you about this turkey. Let me tell you about this turkey. I ain't never seen turkey like this before. I was like, this don't even taste like turkey meat. This don't even taste like turkey meat. I ate all that stuff. My bag was so heavy coming back. That's what I did for the last 2 days. To the point that where I'm questioning Mr. Scale. That 199.8 that I got this morning don't seem right. I'm going to go back, take the batteries out, put the batteries back in. Step on it, recalibrate it, then get on it. Because I've been killing it. It was cheesecake. It was birthday cake. It was duplex creams. It was marshmallows, ham, rolls, dressing. Oh, my God. The dressing. Turkey, ham, macaroni and cheese. And I was alone in my apartment for 2 whole days. No, but, and again, I didn't say it this time, maybe because it's not so bad for whatever reason, but I still do mean it. Thank God it's Monday, because I can't stay in that state too long. I can't stay in that hibernated state, or however you want to call it, too long. And that's why I fear retirement. My ex-wife retired. It's been like 3 weeks. She says she's doing okay. But it's the long game that counts. And I can't even do, like I said, I do a weekend. See, I don't need to go anywhere, do nothing. I do a weekend. I ain't got to go nowhere, do nothing. I am overly the top happy and content being in my apartment by myself with all my toys, electronics, things to play with. And if I get bored, I'll order something. I'll buy something from Amazon and have it delivered. Something else to play with. Food, TV, and football. We won't even bring up what my Steelers did. Okay, since you asked. The Steelers fired Matt Canada, the offensive coordinator, for 2.5 years. People have been blaming Matt Canada. I have seen this offense be stagnant and half-dimensional, not even one-dimensional, half a dimensional. They didn't even do the one thing they were supposed to do right. I've seen this offense struggle and just be putrid for too many years. And I was just like super frustrated. I was like, all right, now Bill's gone, they gotta fix it. Because ever since when the Killer Bees left, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, our offense was explosive, we was doing things, we had talent, and Ben was a Hall of Fame quarterback. He knew how to work the offense. Even when he was there, the offense started to look static, stagnant and one-dimensional under Matt Canada. And I was blaming Tomlin. I was blaming everybody. I was so frustrated, I was blaming everybody. Because he's the head coach. And I just wanted to see the whole thing get more sophisticated. And I still probably want to see the whole thing get more sophisticated. And I was talking about the Miami coach, that dorky looking dude with the glasses. He went to Yale. He played wide receiver, and he went to Yale. That's the kind of coach I want. He look all nerdy in them glasses. Look like an egghead scientist. That's the kind of coach I want. That's the sophistication that I want to see in the execution and scheme of my football team. One commentator called it bully ball. Playing bully ball. I don't think you can play bully ball anymore in the league for a whole season. You got to out-scheme. You have a bunch of bullies on the field, and they're gonna be strong as hell. But if they ain't thinking on offense and defense, they're gonna get outsmarted and outcoached. So they fired Matt Canada Tuesday. They played their first game since then. Granted, it wasn't the best football team in the world to play. Granted, that team had injuries. But it was a division game on their field. And we beat them. We didn't score a lot of points. But the offense racked up 400 yards of offense. 400 yards of offense. First time they did it in like 50-something games since Matt Canada took over. It was amazing. It's like, I was like, oh man, I almost feel bad for Matt Canada. They fired him, and then the next week, Steelers went up 400 yards. And so right now, I guess, Tomlin's off the hook. Because even the defensive scheme was called good. But like I said, again, Cincinnati wasn't in the best of shape. And they wasn't the best team. They had major injuries. Their star quarterback was hurt. So, and he got to count for at least 2 touchdowns. He was hurt. So, it may have been timing. You know, the way things went down. We may have lucked out on all that. But regardless, lay in the bed. Watch that. Sunday morning. It was good eating. Food, it was just good 2 days. So now I'm back to it. I got nasal runnage. I don't know. My granddaughter had it too. Her nose was just running and dripping and she was all cloggy. But she didn't seem to get a fever or get sick or anything. And I got the same thing. I thought it was allergies. Because it happened. It started when I was back there, like on a Tuesday night or something. Woke up Wednesday, it was raining. Well, like on a Monday night, it started. Woke up Tuesday, it was raining. Because Wednesday, I had to walk and get the car. So then it wasn't raining. So I rent a car in Youngstown. I walk from Boardman to Youngstown. That sounds farther than it is. Even though it's true. Walk about 3 miles to the rental car place. Get the car, drive back. Get dressed for work, blah, 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 blah. And the last few days, I haven't been getting my steps in. And I've been eating like an idiot. And the scale only said 199. I don't believe it. When I get home, in fact, I'm anxious to get back now. Take the batteries out. Move it around a little bit. Put it back in. Step on it. Let it calibrate. And then see what's up. Just to verify that number. Because my God, that number should be. In fact, last night, before I went to bed, or about, you know, around that time when I laid down, it was a 205. I was a 205. And then, you know, I pissed all night. I pissed like 5-6 times before I go to sleep. Woke up, like, you know, and then middle of night or whatever, 201. I'm like, Jesus. And then this morning, 199.8, I don't believe it. I've been eating. And I took, there's a picture at the P-Funk show. Where I look fat. I was like, oh my God, I look fat. Could have been just what I was wearing and the way I was standing. But I did look fat. I was like, oh my God. And I felt it. And I felt like I earned it and quote unquote deserved it. So that's that. You don't want to talk about the P-Funk show? It was good. P-Funk show was good. It was just good. Downtown LA, Novo. Come to find out, tickets at the door to get in general admission, not general admission pit, was $15. Price went down to $15. More than one person, I think I talked to a couple people who ended up just getting stuck with tickets. Couldn't give them away. I gave mine away. I was ready to eat it. I sold a couple of them. I still had one. And I'm standing in line, talking stuff, saw Tally. Got in line with him. We used to, you know, rucking it up in line. And I'm a good time. And this one dude, I see it. It's about, and I ain't gonna say all the shows. But he'd be at the show. It'd be a Trulio show, Fishbone show. I don't even sure I know his name. I seen him all kinds of shows all over. He'd show up. And so I'm standing there. I was like, hey, you got a ticket? He's like, no. I'm like, come on. So I got him in. General Mission Pit. I paid $113 for that ticket. The price probably went all the way down to like $50 or $40 when it's all said and done. But I was just happy. I was happy not to eat the ticket. And I was seeing this dude at so many different shows. And I told him, you owe me for the rest of your life. And he was like, okay. He was like, how can I pay you back $113? You know, I'm like, you ain't got to worry about getting that to 113. But I'll see him at another show. I said, just buy me drinks forever or something like that. Because I don't even drink alcohol. You know, so that was fun to have. The show was good. Noah Fisher's bass was sounding extraordinarily good to me. What I believe to be true, my subjective experience, because I've never heard his bass sound like that. See how he had effects and he was doing stuff that I'm not sure I've heard done at a Fishbone show. And it's not that I'm a Fishbone soldier and I go a lot. But I've seen him a few times. I've seen him enough time. In fact, I just seen him somewhere. Oh, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, I think. Yeah. I saw him in Pittsburgh and Cleveland a couple months ago. Fishbone opened up a P-Funk. And I don't believe his bass was doing that. There was some noises and some rhythm and some slaps and plucking or whatever, I don't know what the word is, that I don't think I heard for. I was memorized. Not mesmerized. I was memorized. Just looking, just listen, trying to see. Because it was like right in the pocket. Sometimes it got a little bit overmodulated and loud. Because I think, you know, Fishbone music, Fishbone bass, is kind of flat. It's supposed to be like flat and hollow. I mean, it's just what I'm thinking. As you know, the old soul R&B stuff is like, that lower end. Fishbone's been like, dun, 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 you know, upbeat, that's kind of ska kind of. And his bass had that round bottom middle to it, where the middle wasn't there. So it gave it that nice full bottom sound. And he had effects on it and he was doing stuff. I was like, oh my. And, you know, I'm a P-Funk guy. I usually don't be vibing Fishbone, but I was vibing him that night. I was vibing him Friday night. Like a song selection, whatever. It was sounding good. I was like, okay, I hear that. I feel that. So I enjoyed them. My back started getting kind of tired. I hadn't walked in a couple days, probably why. Just was on an airplane. Flew there, slept a couple hours, and I'm staying in the show for an hour. So I was kind of tired, but P-Funk came out. P-Funk got it going. And here's the story I'm gonna tell. From my belief, it was their first show in a long time. For a while after a break, and they were fresh. And you can tell. Cosmic Slop seemed to be at a faster pace. Mr. Clinton was in good spirits, as usual. The band was doing, it was getting off the rails like I like. Cause this, you know, them just getting in and doing stuff. Mr. Hampton, loud, clean, as usual. Well, I ain't gonna say as usual, but loud and clean, as usual. Mr. Curry, even Mr. Curry seemed to be doing a little something extra. His sound was good. Mr. Joseph, oh, everybody. Mr. Thomas, Greg Boyer, Mr. Scheider, Garrett, Mr. Scheider. Even the girls, even Brandy and Tanisha, everybody. Kevin Oliver on P-Funk, solo. Trey Lewis even grabbed the mic and started rapping something so incredibly nasty and obscene, it was perfect. Mr. Payne, as always, with the voice, doing what he do. Did I forget anybody? God's Weapon. By the time God's Weapon came on to do Dirty Queen, I had to go sit down. I had to go to the balcony and sit down. And right when I went to sit down, or about that time, and I got a front row balcony seat, oh, look at the house. I've been watching them build this house and redo all this for months now. Look at it. I gotta get pictures of it when I come back. So I got up to my seat. I saw a front row balcony seat. I'm standing up, you know, second row in the pit. I went up there, got that seat. Right when I did, I think Mr. Josian started seeing all your goodies are gone. And they went into Maggot Brain. So I was able to sit down and vibe Maggot Brain. It's a big difference. Okay, now, we're standing up front, and Mr. Hampton is right there, and you're right by a speaker, and it's blaring and killing. Blaring is probably the wrong word, but I just like my, I like the lead guitar to be super loud. I like that loop, but the lead guitar to be super duper, duper loud. So when you're in the balcony, it's not gonna be as loud. Cause you really probably just, you're just hearing a lot of the PA speakers. I don't know what I'm talking about. But it was still loud and clear. And I was able to sit down, close my eyes, relax my body, and just float on it that way. As opposed to standing there, you know, kind of drifting and having to remember not to fall. So it was good. I mean, it was just good. Can't forget anybody. PGB Carlong was there doing what she do. 13, of course. Always solid. But things they, it's the little things. Him and Trey Lou. Or Mr. Clinton too. Mr. Tracy Clinton. The things they do, like little subtleties in the background and stuff that are important. Ad libs or filler or whatever. And he kind of orchestrates the show. Mr. Payne is the MC, I guess. But 13, be kind of like the hype man. I don't know. But it's important that he got a shot. He gave LA Maggots a shout out. LA Maggots in the house. I was wearing the shirt. Not sure if Tally was wearing his. I think he still might have had the fishbone. So I'm standing there thinking I'm getting love from the stage. And that feeling felt good, whether it was true or not. The feeling I got from it was good. So, oh yeah, I think it was LA Maggots. It was all LA Maggots everywhere. Backstage, so I think it's also Raw backstage. I think he had on his LA Maggots shirt. So it wasn't just me, but it don't matter. When I, for that few seconds or whatever, I was thinking it was me. It was good. It felt pride. And that, this pride for me, the pride for the LA Maggots. I mean, I'm from Ohio, people. Not that, you know, being from Ohio is just that. I'm from a small town. And now look where I'm at. Small town. I'm going to tell the story again. Small town. A million miles away from Parliament Funkadelic. I found that band. I started loving the music. Never would I dream. Actually, that's not true. I did dream of this. let's just be honest. I did dream of moving to LA and probably being in the position I'm in. Because I never really wanted to perform. If anything, I wanted to be George Clinton. That's about it. I wasn't trying to learn no instrument or nothing. I know I didn't have the discipline, nor did I want it. And then you get love from the stage, love from the band. It's so, I mean, what can you say? Like I said, the highest compliment you can give, I think, something or someone, is to say that they are part of making your life the best possible life or the most wonderful life. And I've been traveling, following, doing, vibing, loving this music for almost 50 years. We still out here fucking doing it. I ain't going nowhere. I don't even go see nobody else, basically. I just go see people. Then to go to the shows and get the love I get on and off stage, to be that guy. Like I said, when I first started listening to Parliament, Funkadelic, and I started with a bootleg 8-track. Didn't even have pictures on it or nothing. I didn't know what it looked like. I didn't know what I was, you know, who, what, nothing. No liner notes, no nothing. The album started to come in, but I'm still a million miles away from knowing anything. Really, the closest thing I would get was Write On Magazine or something in Jet every now and then. You know, those few magazines, I think Rock and Soul or something, whatever magazine was. You know, pictures of this or that. Then start reading the album covers. And it was like they were stars. They were like, they were up in the heaven. Parliament Funkadelic was up in the heaven. And I finally got to see him. Motor Booty Tour. He was at the Civic Arena at Richfield Coliseum. Huge production. Thousands of people. I'm way back, you know. It was just too big, too overwhelming for me. But I was able to get pieces of it in. You know, I was able to observe some pieces. Get a gist of, you know, how this whole concert thing works. Then I think a few years later, they came to Packard Music Hall. I was in college. Well, I just got out of college 2 years ago. 2 years at DeVry. I was back home. Got my mother's car. Drove to Warren to see him. And that was the first time I was able to comprehend. Or looking at the eyes of the musicians, see the show, feel it and understand it. Because I was like maybe 10 feet from the stage. And I was able to look and see and feel and understand a lot better what goes on stage. The Glory Hallow Stupid Egg Tour, Popsicle Tour, whatever they call it, anti-tour. And Mr. Payne came out of the egg. Blew my mind. Because he was messing with the speakers and messing up the music, and it was making me mad. Because, remember, this is my second time seeing this band that I haven't followed all these years. And I'm so far from it, I'm thinking I'll never get to see him again. I'm thinking, this is it. I'll never get to, you know, it was precious. Every second was just so damn precious. And he was messing with speakers, messing with the band, and the band was like, you know, they was playing a role. And I thought it was real. And he came out the egg. I was like, this is why I picked him. This is probably what made me gravitate toward him. That kind of thinking, that kind of mentality. Even though I had read the album covers and everything, I'll still be doing it. And then meet Mr. Payne before the show, talk to him. Still gets to me, and I always talk about stuff. But anyway, you know, I can go on and on about that. Because this shit is real to me. This shit is real. When I put on that P-Funk 1 Steeler jersey, that thing represents. That thing represents basically, I don't want to say a lot to what I have to say, whatever. I don't want to say the core of my being, who I am. That's going too much. That's too far because I'm way more dynamic than that. But them two together, being a little boy. All right, enough. But anyhow, it was a good show. Oh, Benzel on drums. Benzel was on drums. He got that doggone thing in there. Mr. Thomas Solos, Mr. Boyer Solo on P-Funk. He got that extra click track thingy in there. That's all I'm saying. And Mr. Payne was up there playing the cymbal while Mr. Cowan, who Daddy Cowan wasn't there. Benny Cowan was there, Benzel was there. He was playing the cymbal while Menzel was playing. And you see the look on Menzel's face. It was fun. It's good. It's good. Mr. Hampton and his antics. We need him. Did I say something about Brandi Tanisha becoming more and more vocal? Not just hearing them singing their parts, but actually adding stuff to the show, saying stuff. Well, Brandi does, Tanisha don't. I don't think she does. She's sticking to the script. That's Brandi, every now and then you see her, you hear a voice come above the track or whatever. And it just excites me every time just to hear that real live voice. And God's Weapon sang the rap on one of the Shake the Gate tracks. And his energy when he does that, it just brings it up. Instead of singing, well, they both sing it over the track, okay? But the way he puts energy into it, he sings over the track as opposed to singing on top of it. He takes it to another level in the energy, and it just brings the whole thing up. So when whoever comes after him, you know, they got to bring something. And they play Dirty Queen. And for some reason in the balcony, Dirty Queen almost had some appeal. The only part of Dirty Queen I like is when the girls come dancing out, when Tanisha come dancing out to the beginning part at an African silent music. And they say, "He's a Dirty Queen." It's just not, it's kind of like the fishbowl music. If it ain't on the one, it ain't no fun. I just made that up. If it ain't on the one, it ain't no fun. But it was good. Did I forget anybody? Lige, Mr. Bedrosian. Saw him before the show. Got his book out. I ordered his book on the airplane when I landed in LA. So that'll be coming. And his book, to me, is significant because the details, and it's vetted. I asked him, I said, "Has it been vetted?" I said, has your credits and stuff been vetted? Because what he's doing, he's detailing who played on what album. And so he's detailing who played what on what album. Anybody fairly related to P-Funk and their projects and such. And that's real. And that's reference. So to me, that's real. So I'm waiting on that to hear. Because I've talked to him for a show, got a selfie with Mr. Payne. It was good just hanging out. It's really good. And again, I'm reminded that a lot of some people, it's their first show. And they come there and they're just so excited. They're just so excited, you know. And that used to be me. Even though I probably tried to play it off and be cool, I was there too. I remember being so excited. I don't know if intimidated is the word, but it probably is to even talk to them. I remember before I was even so shy to talk. The first time I got backstage, it was too much. I didn't want to be there. And I still don't want to be there. I still don't like going backstage. I like doing what Jeffrey wanted to do. You know, and Jeffrey can do whatever the hell he want on his side of the stage. You know, with their reason, of course. But I got a lot more freedom on my side of the stage. Like I say, I'm King Kong on my side of the stage. It's Miles. If I'm in there, people I'm playing, that's Miles. Well, I think the last time I was challenged was in D.C. one time. A bunch of brothers was getting it. And they had Mr. Clinton's attention. And I could see they had his attention. Because he's going to gravitate to the group or wherever the energy is in the room. And I could tell he wasn't looking in my direction. It made me, I don't even say mad, but it set me back. No, it didn't set me back, you know what I'm saying. But anyway. Yeah. Yeah, I was backstage and I was like, I don't like it back here. I don't know if I got out. As I said before, it's because at that time, somebody could have done something or said something that would have really hurt my feelings. Really, really hurt my feelings. Devastated my philosophy even. I would have had to separate. It was before I knew to separate the band from the music. And not only the band, I had to separate the people, the persons from the band, and musicians from the music, and the music from the philosophy. They're all separate. And somebody could have said something to me, but I was so fragile or whatever at that time. And I've seen plenty of instances of where people got their feelings hurt. You know, funky people I know who've been doing this, you know, just probably, I ain't gonna say as long as I have, or just, you know, who deep into it like I am, who've gotten their, well, I ain't gonna say as long as I have, because obviously I got the experience to understand this or that a little bit more than a lot of people do, because it's a blessing of the proximity that I may or may not have. But yeah, I've seen people get their feelings hurt because this didn't happen, or tickets wasn't there, or, you know, this or that. I ain't going. They can't give me tickets. I never, you'll never hear me say that. Even if I didn't want to go, I'd use that excuse. But it was mostly because I didn't want to go, not because nobody in the band didn't do this for me or didn't do that for me. In fact, they kicked me off and I still went. They kicked me off the list and I still went. I found a way. Front row, just like I usually do. I told them in an article I wrote, they got me kicked off the list. I ain't going nowhere. I got nowhere to go. Like, I ain't going nowhere. I got nowhere to go. I ain't going, can't go see no Earth Winds, no Barcades, none of that bullshit. I didn't have to say bullshit, but you know what I mean. I'm still here. We still doing it. Got two more shows in California, Ventura and Pomona. I'm thinking these venues aren't going to be as prestigious or elegant as the Novo. Novo's like downtown LA in the LA Entertainment Complex. I mean, it's just like a gorgeous, you know, well-policed, just top-level place. This is just like, not the top-top level. I think the Peacock Theater is the top-top. But, you know, it's like across the street from the Staples Center, or Crypto Arena now. You know, it's like right down there, right smack in the middle of it. You know, the real LA stuff. These ones coming up are going to be more of the kind of shows that I like in weird, obscure venues. I take that back. Some of these venues they play may be obscure now, but back in the day, they were old, legendary. Some of these places have been around for a long time. They've been converted or renovated or whatever. Like the Portland Ballroom or some places that I saw, majestic places in San Francisco. I forget the name of them now. But it's Regency, I think, of San Francisco. Fillmore, of course, everybody know. But there's a bunch up there that, you know, legendary. And they're old school. So they're not all modernized. And I think it's a different feel. And it's like a lot of wood. I think wood in the room. I like wood in the room. Love the House of Blues because of all the wood. I don't know why I like wood. I don't know. I just like for it to be wood. I don't know. A lot of shiny metal, you know, metal barriers and all that. I don't know, but they're going to play Ventura and Pomona. They got some old theaters. It's going to be a different kind of vibe, different kind of security, different kind of, you know, And usually those kind of shows, they get a little more playful, a little bit more wild, off the rails, you know. Like in L.A., they may know so-and-so's there, so-and-so's there. You know, so this person's here, that person's there. You know, they got writers, actors, and famous people. So they may be a little bit more disciplined, not disciplined, but, you know, more aware of they play. But they play like a little dinky venue. And sometimes the best shows when they play like a dinky venue, right, whatever dinky venue is, after they've been on the road for a long time and they be tired and irritable. Oh, my God. Or something happened to the hotels or the bus or something. And you can tell folks they ain't happy. They come dragging in. That's a different kind of vibe. Because the L.A. show, folks was on it. They was, you could tell it was the first show in a while or whatever. It was eager and hungry. And it just, the energy you could feel. Like I said, I'll go back and listen to the tape. The Cosmic Slop seemed to have been at the highest tempo I've heard in a long time. Cosmic Slop seem to be at the highest tempo that I've heard in a while. But anyway, my name is Jeffrey, and I'm out here doing what I do, talking about the people. I got distracted. I saw some people over there talking. They got my attention. Not that I had to go on guard. But you want to be aware of your surroundings. When I got distracted. But anyway. So we'll get to see him December 23rd, December 21st. I didn't even check out the logistics of the show yet. Meaning, where's it going to be at? How am I going to work? Am I going to be off? I haven't checked any of that out yet. I should have PTO days. So I should be good. If I have to take a day off. I should have PTO days, so I should be good. If I have to take a day off, I gotta check the logistics. I might do that right now, in fact. Just make sure I'm on the, you know, let's get things together. Find out what day Christmas is and all that. Now that I got through Thanksgiving, can't wait to get back on that scale. Check my weight. That 199 was real enough. But anyway, and Mr. Moore, Angela Moore, Dirty Walt, Kendall, I think his name is, John Stewart, I mean Fishbone, and the guitar guy, Norwood Fisher, did I say Norwood? Who, I don't want to say Norwood is my hero. Because that's not the way I talk or believe in anything outside of myself, pretty much. But I definitely look to him. His opinion, his actions. I definitely. There's no doubt about that. So it's always special to see him play with Trulio or Fishbone. The other bass player for B-Funk, Mr. Curry. As I said before, those two probably key into who I am. I mean, not who I am or what I am today, whatever that means. Whatever I am. That's where it kind of all started. With them too. So it's good. You know, I look back at my life and things I experienced, I'm spoiled. I take it for granted, like I'm supposed to. I appreciate it, knowing that it's precious, hopefully enough to honor it, honor the experiences and opportunities that I've had and the people I know. And the things I get to experience and see. and all that. Kasper fires their offensive coordinator. Offense turns into something. See, I'm wearing it. Football season every day. Anyhow, swinging on y'all, two times. For me, for the phone. And for Skull. this time, and for Skull. Or whatever you want to call fishbone music. Because Mr. Fisher's bass was sounding like it. I don't know, I was asking Ole. I gotta call and talk to him. Cause I ain't talking to nobody the last couple days. We was like texting. He called me, I was like, I ain't talking to nobody in 2 days. I still ain't talking to nobody. I still have only this. This is only talking out to external, something outside of myself since Friday night. It's Monday morning. And that's not a complaint. Anyhow, swinging on y'all two times for me, for the phone, and for ska music, whatever it's called, and for every elementary particle that has ever existed in any atom in this or in any universe that ever was, is, or will be. A totality of it all, the theory of universe. An hypothesis of all as one. My name is Jeffrey. Oh, I should have stopped it first. Okay.